Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay. Good afternoon. Is it afternoon?
Yeah, it is.
So today we have some really special guests with us, and I'm excited about this one. Phil, whoops, Swartz.
My brother, everyone.
This is Judy's brother, Phil.
And then... His voice does not usually sound like that.
That's crazy. Okay, and to our left is Silas. Is this your left?
That's your right. That's my left.
So this is Silas over here. Say hi.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
They can't respond.
Silas is...
They're going to hear it, though. Let's make them feel comforted.
So comforted.
Silas is basically just like another Schwartz brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
we grew up together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Part of the thing.
Phil and Silas were my only friends until I moved to Tennessee, whenever that was.
Isn't it so amazing to like, still have friends from like when you were a kid?
Right. That's so nice.
Not everybody has that. That's a blessing.
It is.
Yes, it is. And Lizzie, it just feels like we've known you our entire
life. I've known you guys for like a year, but it feels like I've known my whole life. So.
Phil, super important question for you.
What?
Who's your favorite sister?
You. Obviously.
Why, thank you. I suspect that might be the case.
I see how it's going. I mean, it works.
Fishing so. And reeling them in.
As long as you catch.
Yeah.
Exactly. Silas, do you have a favorite sister?
That's not a question that I'm going to answer.
Okay. It's all of them, right?
Yeah. Whichever one I'm hanging out with at the moment is my favorite.
Yeah. See, that's a good answer.
I have five sisters. I've been well trained on how
to
maneuver the boundaries.
And
whichever one gave me the most food the most recently. If I'm at somebody's house and they're feeding me food, they're my favorite.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I think food should be one of the five love languages. I think there should be six, and one of them should be food.
I agree.
Because it's a love language for me. If people feed me or buy me food.
That makes receiving food. I love making food for people.
Yeah, that's true. That's like...
I feel like that's one of Phil's love languages.
It is, because every single time we go over to his house, he makes, like, not just little snacks, but like a whole-ass meal. The other night when we were over at your house and it was midnight and you were like, well, I just kind of want some pasta right now.
I wasn't even
so you made us pasta.
I just felt like making pasta.
That was some good pasta.
The other night, we mashed potatoes and brought some sauerkraut at like 9:30 on Sunday night just because we were hungry.
Dude, that sounds so good.
Phil just whips up delicious food all the
time. And you can taste the love in it.
The love in the
effort. Phil, we appreciate you. He did.
Soul food.
Yeah, Bill needs to start a restaurant, you know, and so we need to start like a page where he can start raising support and stuff.
I'm in
before he even starts the restaurant. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah, sure.
Full agreement with
I would donate.
And I think we should do a poll on our Instagram story to see who thinks Phil should start a restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
And then if
let's
it gets
go.
A bunch of yeses, then yeah, start a restaurant.
Yes.
That's also just kind of how polls work though. But poll up. Say like people are gonna say yes across the board.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's just going to say yes, and that way I have to start one, and then...
What's the problem?
Phil should start a restaurant if his heart leads him to.
Yeah.
And
you know,
if he decides to, then we'll support him.
But also, you're going to be living in Florida in like, this month, are you going?
I'm planning to move this weekend.
So, like, tomorrow? Yeah. Or the day after that?
Okay.
Or whenever there's less snow.
Yeah. I'm excited for the snowstorm tomorrow.
Same.
I think it's going to be... I love snow days.
I'm not happy about it. I'll support you.
See, in my head, he's going to move to Florida. And then William will find a job. And William and I will just move there in, like, another month or two. No, and so it's like, we won't even be separated at all. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm, like...
Assessing it?
Yes. That's how I'm coping with the idea
same.
Of Phil
I'm
moving.
I'm going to make so many trips to Florida. This is not even fun.
You understand if you move to Florida, I have to go with you.
Yes.
You can't say no.
It's a migration. I'm Sid.
They left without me. They do this every year.
That was iconic.
That was amazing.
I forgot about Sid.
Sid's amazing.
We
I've always really identified with Sid for some reason. I'm not sure.
Maybe because he's a little autistic.
Remember one year when I was little, I had to make a birthday cake.
Yes.
I was like, later.
Yes. It was. It looked good too. I mean, it looked disgusting because it looked exactly like Sid.
It looked exactly like Sid.
It was amazing.
Oh, are we talking about Sid the Sloth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sid the Sloth is amazing.
Diana made a Sid the Sloth cake for Phil one year.
That's incredible.
It was. Yeah, we still have pictures of it somewhere.
I would love to see it.
We need to find them. I have no idea where they are, but we need to find them.
Yes.
I think Mom has a picture in like a scrapbook somewhere.
That's probably what it is. She has like 50 scrapbooks at home.
Anything digital back then?
I was gonna say phone scrapbooks were such a they're still a thing in my family.
I think it's
okay. I love scrapbooks. I love going home to my mom's house and looking through the scrapbooks. There's pictures of Phil trying to shuck corn, and he's just so disgusted with the whole process.
I think it was like looked like 4 or 5.
Yeah, you weren't very old.
Guys, why are pictures like in paper form more special than just pictures you
know? It's like a physical thing. I don't know.
But do you know what I mean?
When you can touch something and hold it, it means more than just looking at it on a screen.
Yeah, like I was looking at pictures the other day. And I literally cried. They were so special.
I was going through old videos this morning because I was trying to clean out my phone. And I found some good ones.
Oh, yeah. The one
the one of so Silas throwing a sword at the tree.
Yes. The one was so like my running after Ruby.
Yes. It was right after he broke his foot. So he was just hobbling down the road. Because, okay, for reference, Ruby was tried driving Phil's motorcycle. And she... was so small that she couldn't quite get it to like stop because you know you gotta like squeeze the handle for the brakes and her hand was too small and so she just kept like going and going and so Phil just was trying to chase her down.
I watched that video like 3 times this morning. It was so funny.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess we're done with her.
Little spill
with our fun.
That was perfect.
The fun section.
It helps people to get to know you. Yeah. And it helps them to feel connected.
Connection is good. Actually, this question isn't on my list, but you know we were talking earlier about like Phil starting a restaurant, and if that's his dream, he should do it. And I was it's been on my mind because I was having a conversation with somebody earlier this week about it. Do you guys ever find yourselves like you never know what you want, and you don't really have any like dreams and desires because you almost don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there at times in my life. Right now I have a job that looks like it has a future, and so it's you can envision where it could go if you put the work in. But yeah, at times if you're working a dead-end job and you're just like, this is going nowhere, it's like
it does make it hard,
right? Even just like little stuff like trying to decide where to eat or something, and like somebody asks you and you can't figure out what you want. That happens to me all the time. Do you have any idea? Where's that coming from? How do we fix it? I don't know.
Well, at a certain point you get so far down a hole, however you want to describe it, that you can't see any light, so it's hard to even envision light.
That makes sense.
Oh, they'll come in with the philosophy.
I know.
Get it? And it's philosophy?
Philosophy. Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's in the name.
Yeah. So yeah, I like Phil and Silas. You don't say a whole lot, but then when you do say something, like...
It's good.
Exactly.
Except for when it's
even,
not.
Yeah. Yeah. Even then, it's like, you gotta listen. Because they're saying stuff. Anyway, I think it's okay to want things, you know? And I think it's good to sit down and like... make lists of stuff you want.
Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah, I found
that too, but even just small stuff.
Physically make goals, you are way more likely to achieve them.
Good for you. I do not make goals. Every time I try to make goals, I can't. First of all, I make ridiculous goals and then I can't accomplish them. Mm-hmm. And then I get really depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just, goals thing doesn't work for me, but I think it's really cool. The people that it does work for and the people that put a lot of effort into making goals, that's wildly impressive.
I think especially if you're not used to making goals, you have to make really small ones.
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
Get yourself going, pick up traction.
Like, I will eat breakfast today.
Right. It's like, I'm going to sweep the floor, and then you can check that off your list and feel good about yourself.
Nice.
Genius.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Need
checklists are fun as long as you do super simple stuff on the checklist.
Wait. Nice.
A little emotional boost.
Get that dopamine hit.
As someone who, it's not like I'm not diagnosed, but I feel like I have ADHD kind of. And I feel like a checklist would work for me. Because it
probably help a lot.
Yeah, because if I don't have one, I'm just going to like put things off.
Do you know how I trick myself into getting things done?
Let me know.
I find something that I'm really excited about listening to, like music or a movie or something, and I put that on, and then my brain gets distracted. And so then I can go do the work, and my brain doesn't freak out because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing work that I hate. Yes. Instead, it's just like listening to the movie.
And then,
and then I can just get all kinds of stuff done. Phone calls also work.
Yep.
You're welcome. Oh yeah. Sometimes I'll be calling Judy when I want.
Yeah. We call each other and wash our dishes.
Music and podcasts. Stuff to just listen to throughout the day when you're at work. It just helps the time go.
It really does.
I love a good podcast.
Hey, can I say something really quick?
Yes.
Silas, So our job was, we, everyone here knows the story, but I want everyone else to. The convoy that we had.
Yes, it was epic.
Can we talk about that?
We can. On the way to Florida, we had, what, about six vehicles?
That's so cool.
At one point, we're about six.
About six, a couple trucks, a minivan, my truck, Mo's car, and we were all doing exactly the speed limit, not a mile over the speed limit, but we were still passing everybody. I'm not sure how that works, but we were just hanging together for...
Dude, that sounds so fun.
My favorite part was, and like, I don't know if anybody else seen it, but there was like a mom, and there was a dad, and there was a little brother.
In the little minivan, just hauling along.
That's amazing. Just a little family road trip. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was like...
That
like
sounds so fun.
I feel like Silas was like the middle brother, and then Phil was driving Mo's little car, and he was like the little baby brother, and he was just
running around. The little guy with the zoomies.
Single time I think about it, it's just like, it makes my life worth living. So...
That's awesome.
That's why road trips can be fun.
And Judy, you would have loved it.
I think I would have, yeah. I hate road trips, though. Mm. I think I hate them even more now that I don't, like, drive 40 minutes to work every day. Because I'm that much more just not used to driving. Yeah. So then when I do, I just get so bored and so tired of just being on the road. I don't know. I don't like road trips.
I've learned to love them. I ain't used to, but...
The plane is my preferred method of travel.
See, I flew for the first time.
And you hated it.
I hate it.
No fun?
Uh-uh. I'm so sorry.
There was, like, turbulence. I'll stand up there like...
Mm. Yeah.
And then there was a man, a weird man who I was sitting next to. We're going on off. I'm sorry for this, but I just feel like I need to share.
Them. Yes, tell them about the weird man.
Oh, so our tickets got weird, and so I didn't get to sit next to my cantina in our first flight.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat right between two old men. Well, when I say old, I mean like one guy was probably like 50 and the other guy was like 45. And the one guy who was sitting next to the window was a weirdo. He tried to hold my hand.
That is weird.
And then he tried to give me his number.
Somebody needs to come get their grandpa, man. Like,
yeah. And then he asked me where I live.
Like your address or like?
No, like which town I live in.
Okay.
And I told him I lived in Indiana because it felt like the safest thing to
do. Nice.
Very smart. Very smart.
Yeah. Anyway, so that kind of ruined it for me. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
You should give it another try, because planes can be a lot of fun.
And then the airport, and there were so many, like, delays and stuff, so we were just sitting there, and then we didn't know if we were going to make it for a flight.
Okay, I love airports.
Airports are either the most stressful or the most interesting place. Like, if you've got a lot of time, you can just hang out, you can people watch, you can just sit there and drink your coffee.
That's the best part of airports, is the people watching, because there's just...
Everybody.
Everybody's there.
Yeah, you see... More different people than you do anywhere else.
It's the melting pot of the world.
And there's also people doing just like weird, funky stuff in airports. And it's just completely acceptable because it's an airport. I don't know. I like it.
When you land and your flight's in 30 minutes on the other end of like a massive airport, then it's just stressful.
Yeah.
So, I almost like that. Because then I just, okay, grab my bags. I head there.
None of it's just waiting around.
Yeah. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I think I would prefer that over having like a 4-hour
layover.
Yeah. That's the word. Yeah. In an airport. An hour and a half
or 2 hours is about right.
You got time to get some snacks, go to your gate.
You can charge your phone a little bit, but it doesn't drag on.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, that's a lot of discussion of airport travel, but I think you should give airplanes another try. That's all we're trying to say. I mean, you'll probably have to at some point.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'll never do it again, but I'm just saying, like if I do have to do it again, I'm not going to be super excited about it. But I will enjoy myself.
Maybe next time you'll get to sit beside a sweet old grandma that'll give you lots of good life advice.
That happened to me on our flight home from Florida. This old lady sits down beside us. The smell of weed was so strong that, like, you could almost get a secondhand high. Just sitting beside her. And then she just started dispensing some life advice about, like, finances and stuff. Because she was like, oh, yeah, I sold my house in Florida. And now I own a house in Tennessee. And my house in Florida I bought for $125,000. And I sold it for $700,000.
Good.
$1,000.
When did she buy it?
Like 50? Yeah, pretty much.
Strawberries. Now she's passing out for a
game. 4 strawberries and a matchstick.
For when the economy was good.
Let's have a little one matchstick.
But what?
What's a matchstick? Yeah. Are you asking seriously?
Genuinely, I don't know.
Like, they're like this long, you strike them against the box.
So it's just a match.
Yeah, just a match.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
Why do we need to put the stick down?
Because that's technically what it is.
It's a stick.
It's a match
stick. It's a match stick.
It's a singular.
It's one word. Match stick.
Match stick.
It's a singular match stick, not match sticks.
What if you're a match matches? Stick?
We're getting off topic.
On topic, thanks.
Okay.
Derailing the conversation. Just like,
I love it. I'm having a lot of fun on this episode, more so than usual. Okay, so my first question for both of you guys is, how did you view God as children? Who wants to go first? Like, what was your view of God like as a child?
As a child? Terrifying. Fire yeah. and brimstone.
Yeah. Did you also read The Martyr's Mirror when you were like 8?
Trying to remember. I don't think I read that one specifically.
But... yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we used to get, do you remember we had like these newsletters, something yeah. with like stories from The Martyr's Mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would read those. That's fun stuff.
Great thing to read at 8.
I know. Mm. One of my worst fears is still being burned alive. Yeah. Thank
that
you.
Seems so reasonable though.
Getting like, your that's, head chopped off.
That's not a, like,
I'd rather just get my head chopped off.
Those fears are weird. That one makes sense. I think everybody can get behind that. Burned alive. Hey.
Yeah. Not a good way to die. Getting your head chopped off would be a lot better. Because it would be over.
So,
1 second although, you're alive.
There was a study where they discovered, or they hypothesized that you can your brain probably keeps turning for like a couple seconds.
After yeah, but it's just a couple off. Seconds.
And imagine what those couple seconds would
like,
be like.
Oh, there you are.
Sounds yeah, like a no. great final 3 seconds. I don't know.
I think it's, is it like 8 minutes though?
I have no idea.
I really doubt it.
I think it is. Oh wait, hold on. Can we go on?
Well, do you remember that story in The Martyr's Mirror about the guy who his head, the last martyr or something, he got his head chopped off? And before he died, he said that after his head got chopped off, it would roll into his hat and it would laugh or something. And that's exactly what happened.
I remember the story, but I don't remember the specifics.
Yes, his head got chopped off and then it went rolling into his hat and then he laughed.
Okay.
So that's like creepy. That's
right? Creepy as
so
hell.
So it's 25 to 30 seconds.
Oh, that's a long time.
That's a long
Whoa.
Time. No. Whoa. No. Hate
and
that.
Conscience.
I might need to rethink that.
30 this. Seconds?
That's a long time.
That's
so,
a long
time. Like
Taco
that.
Bell stays with you.
Right?
Like, this is... That's a
long I think point. Taco Bell should be trade names with In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was
that's a great idea.
Why was that so funny?
Well, I'm statistic.
Number one, let's go.
Yeah, we should have a counter.
What about you, Silas?
I remember being scared of dying before I got saved.
Right.
Like, same. You know, when you're like 10 and you're like, okay, so heaven and hell's real. And if I, you know, fall out of a tree tomorrow and I die, I'm like, I'm going to go to hell. So like, that's scary. But at the same time,
for
it
real?
Should be. And, like, the way I was raised, it never felt like, I don't remember ever being, like, terrified of God. Like,
yeah.
there was fear, but it was a healthy fear. Like, this is what's going to happen if you do this. So you can be afraid
right.
of that. Yeah, I don't know.
Phil, for you, what do you think made you think that way about God?
It's a little bit hard to say for sure. I would say just mostly preaching and whatnot.
Yeah.
Some of our sermons we heard when we were little.
We heard some crazy stuff, for sure.
And yeah, when I was little, yeah, once I grew up, I was able to understand stuff.
Right.
I didn't feel as much that way.
Right. Well, and I think God, like, I felt that way about God, too. And I think a lot of the reason that changed was because God himself, like, showed me who he was, you know?
You actually had a relationship.
And I was able to have a relationship because my view of him changed. And I think that was him, you know, helping me out a little bit.
Yeah, because it's completely fear-based. You can't have an actual relationship with God.
Yeah, like, pretty much. That's
pretty much.
That's what you believe now?
No, I'm saying that's not what I believe.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I was like, because I missed out because I had to get a cough drop. I was about to, like, and then I heard Judy agree, and I was like,
oh. No, I'm real scared.
Fear-based relationships are not relationships.
Yeah.
What was said? Okay, another question that's kind of down the same lines. Lizzie, this one's for you, too. I want to hear what you have to say. But how do you think God views you? And has that changed over the years?
Well, I mean, I feel like God views you the same way as, like, a parent views
right.
a child, roughly. Only, if anything, more love.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Because it's God.
Yeah.
He is love.
He can love infinitely,
yeah.
so.
Have you always felt that way, or have you ever felt like judgment from God?
When I was younger, more, and that's still something I'm trying to unlearn from myself. It takes a while. It's a long process.
Same. Yeah, because I always feel like God's judging me for everything.
Yeah.
And he's not. I mean, when I sin, then yeah, he's judging that. Because, like, that's God. But it's his job. I don't know. But also, even if he is judging me for my sin, he's going to forgive me if I ask for it, you know?
Yeah, because
I don't have to carry it around.
One thing that helps me a lot is if I try to look at God through the lens of, say, if in a way I almost try to envision how I would look at it if I was a dad and it was my child.
Aw, that's amazing.
So you just want to love them and help them learn how to not do it again.
Right. What about you, Silas?
God feels like he's just there 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Putting in the effort. But the disconnect is when you don't put in the effort. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're going through life and you kind of envision God loving you, but at the same time kind of looking at you like, bruh, you know better than doing that. Like, get your act together.
But in a, like, a loving, like, almost big brother kind of way.
He told you this, bro. Right. Like, seriously.
Like, how many times have we done this to our friends? What about you, Lizzie? How do you think God views you?
When I was a kid, I felt like he was constantly disappointed.
Yeah.
And so, and I think that that's, like, another reason why I didn't really want to seek that out, because it's better to ignore it and not feel like he's disappointed all the time than to, but now I feel like how Phil feels about it. Like, I feel like he's just, like, a dad up there, just, like, and he loves me. And I know that I was talking to Joe about this.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just get these, like, really negative thoughts, and, like, I'm such a disappointment. Like, I'm not doing anything, like, remarkable with my life, and it feels like I could be doing more, I could be doing better. And, like, that's not God. Like, God's not going to put those negative thoughts in your head. He's going to encourage you. And I feel like he's just an encouraging, loving father who sees me as someone, like, he sees me as his daughter.
Right.
And he genuinely wants the best for me. And, like, yeah, I think he does get disappointed sometimes, because no one makes great choices all the time. And I think he's also, like, proud.
Right.
And, like, he, yeah.
Proud of the direction you're heading.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, he, yeah, just loves. And the thing that blows my mind is, like, like, there's so many people, and he just loves me. And, like, I say that every episode. What it is.
Because it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, once you start actually thinking about it, like, there's 8 billion people in the world, and he knows everyone's name.
Yeah.
It's
infinite. It's so hard to grasp.
Right?
Not only knows your name, but he knows you inside and out.
Right.
And I don't know about anyone else, but, like, 50% of my friends, I don't know them as well as I want to.
Right.
But he just, like, he, it takes a lot of effort to get to know someone really well. But he knows us. And he knows what we're going to say. He knows what we're going to do. I don't know, which is incredible to me, I think. But.
Yeah. And a really good friend puts effort into a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And a good friend is, you know, there for you a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God's just that infinity. He's there for you all the time. Mm-hmm. He'll listen to you at any moment. He'll encourage you at any moment if you reach out to him.
Yeah, I love that.
It's beautiful. I love having these conversations.
Right? Like, why are we not doing this more? I don't know. Like, why did it take a podcast, right? And when we do, we just talk about, like, bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, why do we not have these conversations more often? Something about
looking at a mic in the middle of the table makes you just get serious a little bit more.
Seriously, we should just always have a mic.
Yeah.
Let's do it, bro.
It's like carrying a microphone.
Get a picture of a microphone and put it on the wall.
Yes.
Maybe we should just start a separate podcast for those mics.
Distracted thoughts. That's what it should be called.
There you go.
Is that?
I think you should start a podcast and call it that. That's a great name for a podcast.
Because I'd be having some thoughts.
Why is our podcast not named that? That's what I'm thinking.
It's a good name.
That's a good name for a podcast. TM. Distracted thoughts. TM. That's ours. Nobody may steal it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what is TM? I don't speak this language. Too much something. TMI?
We need to call this podcast
Distracted Thoughts.
Distracted Thoughts.
Cool.
Because half of the time, we already spoke.
I'm trying to be less distracted, but
yeah.
Here we are, you know?
It makes life easier.
to be distracted.
Yeah.
It really does. When you can just disassociate.
Like, I'll... Like,
but you gotta deal with stuff eventually, sadly.
Can we cut this out? I just have something to say real quick. You know how, like, I don't know how many people die of cancer a year. It's insane.
Too many.
Yes. And, like, the idea that God, like, allows that does not make sense to me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand it. And yeah. I don't ever understand it, probably. So I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know, like...
We as humans are always trying to look for a reason.
Right? Yes. Right? It makes us feel better somehow. It makes
it so much easier to handle if there's just like, okay, that's why it's happening and that's
bad. Right.
If you have that, you can kind of keep yourself locked in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that God just allows people to die of cancer and allows people to go through so much pain. I think God gave people free will because he loves us. And then people use that free will to do terrible things. Like,
so you're saying,
I'm like, Big Pharma puts out all these horrible drugs and horrible ingredients.
They do.
Like, there's all kinds of stuff in the world that causes cancer that people put into the world, not God. Okay. People used their free will and put it out there.
See, what I thought you were about to say is, like, maybe they did something bad 2 years ago and now they got cancer.
Oh, no.
So I argue with you. Like.
As you should, because that would be a terrible thing to say.
I was about to start.
Yep.
Anyway.
We live in a fallen world. People used free will to let the world go to shit. I don't know.
We use free will to do literally every horrible thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
I was going to say stuff you can't even imagine.
It's been done by people because they chose to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But God had to give us free will because he loved us.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if he hadn't given us free will, wouldn't we love at all?
Exactly. We wouldn't be able to love him back because it would just be...
It'd be communism.
Exactly.
Love that.
Nice, Phil. Okay, Diana said something to me a couple months ago that just blew my mind. And so I got to talk to you guys about this. You know how we're always saying, like, oh, don't pray for humility because God will send you things to keep you humble. And, like, don't pray for patience because God will send you things to test your patience, you know? And I've said stuff like that all the time. But I was talking to my sister Diana about that, and she was like, that's so ridiculous. Like, God doesn't just, like, send you tests to make you stronger. She's like, it doesn't work like that. If you were a father and you were trying to teach your child to have patience, you wouldn't just, like, you wouldn't scream at him. You wouldn't, like, make him sit in a chair for 2 hours and, like, stuff like that. Like, you would just gently show him what patience looks like.
It's true.
And that just blew my mind. And it made so much sense.
I don't completely agree with that.
Like, explain.
No, you're not gonna sit your kid down and, like, scream at him, but that's a punishment. Right. That's like, you can give your child a test.
Sometimes it's a punishment, but sometimes parents just scream at their kids.
Well, that's too true, but that just comes down to shitty parents. That's
yeah
talking about God here. He's kind of above that.
Way above that.
So yeah, I totally think God gives you tests to help you grow. That's how you grow, is overcoming difficulty.
See, I don't think God gives us tests. I think tests happen. Because life is hard, and God helps us learn through things, even though he's not sending them.
I can get behind that philosophy. Yeah.
Did I interrupt you? Did you have more stuff you were going to say?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying, too.
I do think God does give some people specific tests. I think he does send some people a test.
Absolutely.
Like, is there a story behind this?
Job, for crying out loud. Like,
you know what? Happens. Yes. You've got a point there.
But... that doesn't mean that, you know, every negative thing that happens is a test from God.
Right.
Some of that is just life. And yeah, you have to, he'll help you get through that. So I guess it's a test, but it doesn't necessarily mean he sent every single bad thing that happened. I don't believe that.
I forgot about Job. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was definitely a test God sent.
That was a lot of tests.
Well, yeah.
I mean, technically the devil.
Yeah, but God still allowed it. Cool.
Maybe sometimes those tests or devil hears you praying for patience or something. He's like, well, I'm going to send this way and see how bad you actually want patience.
But then that would have to mean that he kind of had good intentions, right?
Or no. It's a thing of like, I know this person is short on patience because they're praying for more. So let me just try to take advantage of that.
That's a hard idea to nail down.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of variables.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just spitballing ideas.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
There's multiple ideas can be right, you know?
And it's hard to narrow them down if you don't say them.
Yeah, I love it. Keep the ideas coming. Okay, so when this is for both of you, but when did you first start a relationship with God? Like, when did you get saved?
About the time I was 17 was when I started seriously pursuing a relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you got baptized. I remember that. What, like, led up to that decision? Was it, like, something you kind of thought about for a while, or did it just kind of happen?
Well, see, before, I was still operating on sort of a fear base. Like,
right.
I kind of wanted to be a Christian and get baptized, but it was out of fear of going to hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I discovered that I wanted to be a Christian to have a relationship with God, not just to get out of going to hell.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
What about you, Silas?
It was, like, what, the same week?
Yeah.
You were in Michigan.
Yeah.
At a Bible school, and I was hanging out with, he was a friend, now he's my brother-in-law. Shout out to Justin. And kind of just had a meltdown, basically.
Yeah.
He helped me work through it, and I don't know. Growing up, God is just, you know about God.
Right.
Taught God. You know there's at least some scripture. It's not like a foreign idea, but until you have that, come to Jesus moment, to use that term, you kind of, in a way, kind of have to reach the end of your own rope.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to try to do things on your own for as long as you can. It's like, okay, yeah, I got this. I'm strong. What are you talking about? But then, like, life gets to be a lot. And when you crumble into pieces and God's there to pick you up, it makes you realize just how much you need him.
Right.
So, but yeah, Phil and I got saved, like, I think the same week.
Yeah, because I remember, like, going to your baptism, states away. Too.
Didn't even know it.
That's so cool.
We were down visiting John.
Yes.
So we got ourselves getting baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove back Sunday morning, just like 100 miles per hour the whole way.
Pretty much.
I remember there was, remember that really curvy road? What is it? The 724 between Mary? The 145. Super curvy road. Anyway, and we got behind this old couple that was driving so slow. Like, you don't even know. And there's this one really sharp curve, but you can see all the way around the curve, and you can see, like, it's one of the few spots on the road where you can see if there's nobody coming, but there's a really sharp curve. So obviously it's a no passing zone. And Phil just zipped around him, like, past the curve. I did it once in that same spot too.
Texting Dad, like, see if you can stall for 10 minutes.
Yes.
Well, we made it.
We made it.
Yeah, we were all hanging out at the pond, and I just hear the Ford Ranger coming. There we are.
Good times. Phil and I used to have so much fun making road trips to see John in his Ford Ranger where the air conditioner didn't work. Good times. For real. So when did you decide that you didn't want to be Mennonite anymore? And, like, what led up to that decision for both of you?
It wasn't necessarily as much of a decision as I just realized I wasn't Mennonite.
Yeah.
Don't really quite think like a Mennonite, look like a Mennonite. And so I was like,
well, time to go, I guess. Yeah. Do you think having, like, siblings, older siblings that left kind of helped that decision?
Probably.
Yeah. Because I feel that way. Like, if Ruby wouldn't have left before I did, I don't know if I would have.
I'm trying so hard to picture a Mennonite Phil.
I look a lot different. Yeah, I can show you pictures. Phil also kind of looked a lot different. He used to just have bangs, just down to his eyes.
It wasn't. We can be honest.
I mean, he has a nice forehead, you know?
I forgot to question.
Oh, yeah. And I almost forgot to let you answer. But, like, when did you decide you didn't want to be Mennonite anymore? And what led up to that decision? Could it have been Phil?
It could have.
Phil's influence? It definitely could have been. Yeah.
Maybe y'all's influence. Growing up, like, my mom and dad didn't come from a Mennonite background.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my extended family isn't Mennonite. And so it never really felt like that was the only option. In a way, it did, because, when you're growing up, you're used to just being in the same box
right.
as your family and doing everything. You kind of have a fairly simple idea of what life is going to look like.
Right.
But it never, at least, especially at home, like, sometimes at church, I kind of felt like you had to be Mennonite to be a Christian. But at home,
makes sense. Mom, it was a Mennonite church.
Right.
Of course they're going to say that.
But at home, mom and dad, which, that's a little unfair, because most of the people at that church would have told me the same thing. It's like, you don't have to be a Mennonite to be Christian.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things I remember most about my mom. Is like, she would tell me all she cared about was that I had a good relationship with God.
That's amazing.
That's pretty much the line. Other than that, there was preferences, but it wasn't like that was the only option.
Right. That's awesome.
Well, and I think, like,
me too.
Yeah, same. I like to think as well. I don't really like thinking, but I do it. Sometimes I like it.
in the right mood.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, I love that. I know you've talked about this before, that your parents were like very open-minded and wanted you to be too, and kind of encouraged you to think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I specifically remember my mom telling me that kind of as I was leaving the church, and you know, everybody was a little worried about me because, you know, I'm not being a conservative good little man and I go anymore.
Yeah, you don't fit in the cookie cutter anymore.
I'm not fitting in the cookie cutters. And like, if, you know, mom was concerned about me and would say something, she never came over and was like, you have to be a Mennonite to be a Christian. It was that, are you pursuing God? That was the line.
That's awesome. She knew what was important.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds amazing.
Oh, she was. She was so sweet. Really? And she was always growing things.
Very much
like,
so.
She had this huge garden outside. She always had little plants growing inside, seeds everywhere, just like in little pots. Oh, I loved it.
No, I'm pretty sure that happened.
It's hard to be a plant person and not kill a few plants, speaking from experience. But anyway, I love plants and I love growing things. So what did leaving change for you? Did it change your relationship with God at all? Did it change how you viewed yourself at all?
Well, it's hard to say that it really changed much because it was soon after I became a Christian. I also just kind of realized I wasn't really a Mennonite.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that it really changed much. In a way, once I actually left, it felt like I had more freedom in God.
Right.
Not just trying to follow what the church tells me.
Right. Nice. I love that. What about you, Silas?
In some sense, I'd say that it kind of opens, if you're reading the Bible and looking at how to live your life and follow the guidelines God gives you, Mennonite culture has a fairly specific take on a lot of those rules. Be it good or bad, you know, they have their thing and that's what they're doing. And so when you grow up in that, you have a somewhat defined sense of what things should be, are, right, how to interpret the Bible. And if you don't have that, and you are still actually pursuing a relationship with God, it kind of gives your brain a little more freedom to interpret and understand. If you don't already have guidelines kind of set in your brain, it's like, okay, I'm reading this verse, but because this is what I believe, that's what the verse means, as opposed to just
reading the verse. That makes so much sense.
It's not particularly the way I was raised.
Right.
My dad was pretty good at that. He has a Hebrew translation Bible, so you can figure out the meaning of what it says and whatnot. But
yeah. So like in your family, you didn't have quite as small of a perspective as like church would have.
I mean, all my family is, you know, fairly much down the same line as far as how everyone dresses, what everyone believes in. But yeah, it was always, growing up, it was always read the Bible, decide for your, like, you know, with, you know, discussing with other people in a community, in a church, and growing in the Lord and all that. But figure out what the Bible means to you and what God is telling you and follow that.
I love that. Yeah. I think I've just been thinking about this since you and I and Dora were having kind of a conversation about God when we were in Florida the other week. And my sister-in-law, Dora, was talking about how much her perspective of God has changed since she's out. Like, she was just talking about how she's gotten so close to God. She just sees so much of God in everything. And that, just the last week or two, I've been really thinking about that. And it's helped me get so much closer to God, too. Just realizing that my perspective of him was so small because of how I grew up. Like, there's a little box for God. And he's so much bigger than that. Yeah. It's like, he's in everything. Everything that you can see, he's in it. Yeah, exactly. You can't put God in a box. I don't know what I'm trying to say, so I'll stop.
Boxes are bad.
No box.
Don't put anybody in a box.
Don't put people in boxes. Perfect.
Except for pedophiles.
Both literally,
pedophiles in boxes.
6 feet.
Yeah.
Put them in boxes under the ground. That's what you said. I don't know why I felt when it's like.
Verification.
Yeah.
Verification is good.
And perspective is good. And it's
boxes in boxes are bad.
Perspective is good, box is bad. Okay.
I'm going like back a question. Part of the reason I didn't feel like I wanted to be a Mennonite was non-resistance. Or at least to the extent some Mennonites would define non-resistance.
Right, which is like extreme.
Extreme.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not across the board, but there will be some people say that if, you know, someone attacks your family, that you should stand in between your family and them. and that's about it. Not particularly fight them, just like use yourself as a barrier. First of all, no. Like,
right.
God, especially as a guy, God has put us on the earth to be the protector and the provider of people we care about and love. If someone breaks into your house and is trying to, you know, assault your wife, you're going to do something about it.
Hell yeah.
That's God gave you that instinct.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
An excellent point. Yeah.
I get non-resistance as far as, you know, not going to war in Afghanistan for bullshit reasons, but
right,
as far
like you're not going to search out right, violence.
As far as defending and protecting good people in your life, mm-hmm. that seems like something that's God's okay with.
Yeah, opinion. I love that.
I don't have particular scripture to back that up right now, but I have.
I mean, the entire Old Testament is.
Well, and I've even some of the translation of Hebrew words I've heard. Again, I don't have the exact reference for it, but I've heard that the thou shalt not kill. There's multiple words in that language for kill. There's a word for kill and there's a word for murder. Mm-hmm. And the accurate translation of that is thou shalt not murder.
Okay.
As opposed to thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, because they're different.
Especially back then, there was, I mean, that was a wild time. At least in America.
Right.
We live pretty peacefully. Some of the time, anyways.
Right. Well, it's peaceful compared to.
Right. Back then, they lived in stone buildings and carried swords. It was intense.
Yeah. That's so cool. That sounds like something I would love to research a little bit more. There's definitely a difference between murder and kill. So it makes sense that those would be different words.
Yeah. It's like also say, if you accidentally kill someone through some kind of random freak accident, did you murder them? Like, I don't see how God would say, oh, you murdered them, you're going to hell for that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love that, Silas. I also, just the whole non-resistance thing and how far people took it. Really bothered me, you know?
Well, it doesn't make you feel safe if your husband says that if someone breaks into your house, he's just going to stand there and walk.
Right?
No.
Right? So what are some things that you believed when you were Mennonite that you don't think are true anymore? And you can't say non-resistance.
No,
you have to come up with something new.
Less that I think things aren't true, but more that there you have the freedom to, within reason, interpret things slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And like two people can read the same passage of scripture and understand it a different way and live their lives a slightly different way and both be fulfilled in Christ.
Oh yeah.
Like, it is black and white, but there's also room for interpretation and where you came from and what things mean to you. So it's less about specifics and more about this isn't the only way to follow God. Like, God and believing in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, but there's not just one way to believe in them as far as the details, as far as how long your dress is, whether or not you always wear a button down. Like, that's specifics that people put on God.
And see, I would say it was as long as you have a good relationship with God. So a lot of those specifics, like, you know, dress code we talked about, don't really matter. But see, also, if you have a good relationship with God, it's not like you're going to be doing anything bad.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but yeah.
If you have a good relationship with God, he's going to lead you to where he wants you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's not like you have to, in a way, you don't even have to worry about that other stuff, because, as long as you have a good relationship with God, he'll lead you right down the
right path. Right, like you can trust him to guide you.
You just gotta listen to your conviction more.
And that's hard. Like, if you don't kind of just have a mindset like, okay, this is how everything works, if there is more interpretation, it is. In a sense, it's a little harder to fall off the wagon track. Like,
when you have a lot of rules, are you saying?
No, like, if you have a lot of rules, it's a little bit easier to just kind of keep doing, not necessarily what's easy, but like, it's a little more cut and dried.
Yeah.
Whereas if you...
It takes less faith.
A little simpler.
Yeah, kind of.
But at the same time, I feel like you don't get as deep a relationship with God because you're just...
If you're just following a standard, as opposed to listening to God speak to you.
Well, you're putting your trust in your rules more than you want
to. Yeah, absolutely. This is something I've thought about. I think it takes more faith to have a relationship with God and let God tell you like what he wants from you than it is to have a bunch of rules. Because when you have a bunch of rules and you're just living according to these rules, it takes zero faith. Because it's like, oh, I'm just going to do this and everything's going to be cool, you know? Yeah.
You know, I keep
But it's hard. I mean, it takes God's always there for you, but you, I mean, you have to put the work in.
You have to make an effort. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Like, he's not just going to do all the work for you. Yeah.
You guys are so wise. I love him.
Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, but see, that's just a sign of how wise you are. The people who are not wise are the ones who think they are. Have you ever met somebody that thinks they know everything?
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few of them out there. And, like, the more you think you know, the less you actually know.
It's like, what are you going to do next?
Right? It's a little scared for them. So, do you think it's a different experience for women to leave Mennonites than it is men?
I'd say probably fairly different because, especially anymore, a lot of the guys, they can kind of more freedom to just kind of dress and do what they want more.
Right.
And women are, especially like during the week and whatnot, but women definitely have a few more they have to follow to be the perfect little wife.
Right. Right.
Kind of like what Phil said. I mean, there's the culture and the dress code of society. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bigger jump for women to leave the Mennonite culture than it is for men in most cases. Like, I mean, there's different Mennonite churches. Yeah. There's a lot of variety, but in general, it's less of a jump for guys because you go from wearing jeans to wearing jeans. Like, this isn't rocket science.
Yeah.
I think that's a question I have is like, what? Like, change? Like, what, like, as far as, like, a lifestyle, did anything, like, actually change?
I mean, for me, not much. We dressed a little bit differently, slightly less conservative, right? Yeah. But...
Like, t-shirts with writing on them instead of, cool.
Pretty much, yeah.
For women, it's like you... Like, it scared me right at first to, like, let my hair down. That was a thing that I struggled with for a long time. So, letting my hair down, taking the covering off, and, like...
Yeah. And, like, I'm assuming this is true for you, and this is also true for me. Like, people were very judgmental. And, like, other women in these Mennonite circles were very judgmental of me leaving and, like, how I looked and stuff. Is that, like, did you guys also feel, like, really judged when you left?
Well, so for me, not really, because same time I left, I left.
Yeah, I, like, moved away.
To a different part of the state, so.
Yeah. I mean, same. So I didn't have to feel a lot of the judgment, but I heard about some of it. And also some people talked to me.
And that's the kicker right there. It's not even you just, like, see the judgment, but you hear from other people.
Yeah.
Need to, like, tell you people.
Right. Which, yeah, there was one person that called me up and, like, talked to me after I left. And she was actually, like, she was very sweet. Like, she was calling because she cared about me.
Yeah. That's mostly, that's what I felt.
Yeah. So it's not like I felt judged by her.
People, whether or not you're talking about, like, how you're dressing or whatnot, when I left the Mennonite church, the people that talked to me for the vast majority of it did it because they cared about me and wanted to make sure I was a Christian and following God.
That's awesome.
Because, I mean, yeah, I was a dumb teenager. I was doing some stupid stuff. I still do all the time.
So just teenager things.
Okay, there's, when you're drastically changing the direction your life is going to go, it makes sense that the people that care about you are going to have some questions. Right. So that kind of, that checks out.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome.
Awesome.
Can't talk today. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. There's, like, people that judged me, but then there was also people that called me because they cared about me. Like, there's a difference between people judging you and people asking questions and expressing concern because they care about you.
Right.
Anyway, but my next question is kind of down the same lines, but do you think, like, in Mennonite circles, like, do you think men and women, there's different expectations placed on them and, like, different rules for them?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know for sure.
A little bit was hard, though.
Lizzie's over there. We'll hear from Lizzie next.
I'd say the expectations for men in Mennonite culture is performance.
Yeah.
And the expectation for women is to conform. I don't know if that's quite the right word.
Conform and submit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to hear more from you, both of you, about, like, what kind of expectations are placed on you as men. Because, I mean, that's something I don't have any experience in.
Being a man.
As far as in general, or, like, Mennonite filtered?
Let's go with Mennonite filtered first.
More or less just to do at least somewhat well financially. It's kind of hard.
Financially and, serving the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I was thinking about.
It's, Which, and if you're actually in a community that you want to be a part of, it makes, like, yeah, pull your weight.
Makes sense.
Right.
But if you aren't bought in, then it kind of feels like you have to do this to be a part.
Yeah, to be accepted. Yeah, like you got to go have devotions in church right. and stuff like that.
Which, and if that's where you want to be, that kind of makes sense. So.
Right. What about you, Lizzie? What are some of the differences you see for rules between men and women?
Okay,
say your piece, girl.
This is the thing. And
don't hold back.
I'm not, okay, and this must, like, cause a little bit of drama, but I'm not a feminist at all. Like, I don't agree with it. I think the whole, like, equality thing is really stupid because I think there should be equality, but I'm saying there already is. And so I don't know why it's such a, like, thing. But I think, like, what Phil said earlier about, like, performance, I feel like women have to perform a lot. And I don't think that's just a thing that men have.
Like, yeah, like men do too. But
yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I think men have to perform.
Well, the entire religion is very performance based. Yeah, exactly. Sorry to interrupt, but continue.
No, exactly. I think, like, it's a thing, like, and
there's a lot more rules for women.
Yeah, there's
for
like,
dressing like specifically.
Your dresses have to be a certain length. You have to have, it can't be like too tight. And like,
only
like,
certain patterns are allowed. And your, like, veil has to be this color and this shape.
And you can't cut your hair. You can't,
mm-hmm.
like if you're not pretty, then you're kind of. And I've never been a man in that community, so I don't know why I'm speaking about this, but I think that there are so many rules for women, and there's just, like, there are higher expectations. Like, you have to do everything that your husband says, which, like...
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of expectation, and there's a lot of, like, performance and, like, rules in that maybe men don't have as much as.
Also, I feel like men can, in a way, get away with a little more.
That's, yeah. Like, the things that women do that maybe aren't accepted is a lot more, like, visible, maybe. Because men, well, like, the roles that they have is stuff that it's just, like, kind of, yeah, it's easy for them to hide it. But women, like, you wear mascara, judgment. Like, you wear right. a lip gloss, judgment.
Because it's very visible.
Yeah. I think that, like, being a woman in those communities is so, like, you can never just do it right.
Yeah.
Like, you're never gonna meet the expectations, like, no matter what you do.
I mean, I've reached the end of my list of questions.
Already?
Yeah.
You're so good at this.
I know.
Proficient. Or
do we have anything else we need to talk about?
Politics.
I hate Trump.
Can I tell you what I think about Trump? Okay, I think
you already told me he's your spirit animal.
Okay, that's a crazy thing to say. But I love it.
I think, like, I have very mixed feelings about him mm-hmm. because he's a...
Predator? Yeah. Is that the word you're looking
is
for?
Is he?
No, he is. He's, really? He's like... assaulted, like, multiple women.
Oh,
and I think that, like, imagine you're the women who have been assaulted by him, and you just wake up and, like, the guy who raped you is your president.
Yeah.
That
would never feel safe again.
That would have to be sick. Okay, on one front, I can see why it would be kind of a big deal for people. And, like, but the thing is, he's the best thing for a country right now. So, like, it sucks that they don't feel safe, and I hate that, but...
No, you know who the best thing for our country is?
Charlie Kirk.
Yes. And Candace Owens.
And Candace Owens. Do you know that Candace Owens got married? She met her husband and got married within like 2 months.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Decisive.
Why do you mention this? That's a little fast. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's...
What do you pick up on social media? What do you mean by that?
I think people should date for like 3 years before they even think of marriage. Maybe 5.
Probably date for 2 years before you have, you know, pre-marriage handle.
Yeah. Same. Pre-marriage is crazy.
I think I messed up.
No, that's what it is now. Pre-marriage.
Pre-marriage.
There's no other word for it.
Premarital. I'm writing a dictionary.
We just need a dictionary of like all the words that people have said wrong.
Right.
That's just Urban Dictionary.
You know how like Gen Z slang like changes every 2 weeks mm-hmm. and there's like a new word?
Yeah. I used to think I would always keep up with it.
Nope.
Like, do you guys know what fine shit is?
Fine shit?
I think I know what it means, but like, tell me.
It's like, that's my fine shit.
Like your nice stuff?
No, it means like your boyfriend or your girlfriend. That's your fine shit.
Yep, didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Like, I would say that about, like, something I have that's nice. Like, you wash your truck, and it's like, oh, that's some fun shit.
Yeah.
And then there's another
one. That's crazy.
Boyfriend or girlfriend, it's the hus.
The hus.
The hus.
And that applies to both genders?
Yes.
What happened to bae? Where'd that go?
Yeah, bring that back.
Yeah.
See, that one's cute.
We need to just like, start recycling.
Okay.
Skibbity toilet rinse.
Oh, my gosh.
You did not.
I almost said it earlier, and I tell myself that. Learn self-control.
Like, those words will never cross my lips.
Oh, I've said them, but you can only say them so long, ironically, when this is over. You're done. You've used
them. Although, that's also what I said about slay. And then...
Slay.
Yeah. I used to say that word will never cross my lips, but it does every time.
Slay is out of date.
Yeah.
I say that to
straight guys.
You know, now that it's out of date, I'd say it's okay to say it.
Yeah. Time. You just gotta wait. Patience is a virtue.
I'll be
it's just a waste of time.
Like, that's my fine shit.
Okay.
Anybody else?
We won't stop you. It's not the worst slang out there.
I don't understand why you would refer to someone you love as fine shit.
Kind of okay. Depends on how
shit you... is William? A very versatile term.
Yeah.
Like,
more. It really
you
is.
Can use shit yeah. in relation to anything because it just depends on what words you're putting with it.
Also, fast.
Most of it probably, yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Do you know how versatile. Asses.
Yeah, but not as
versatile. That word that much.
Like fat ass. That's versatile. It depends on like the she has a fat ass or she's a fat ass.
Context. Tonage.
Big deal.
Yes.
Tonage.
Tonage.
Tonage. Just the tonage of this right down.
Sorry.
Hmm?
Do you guys want to hear the song I just sang?
Is it a good song?
Yes.
Lottie, daddy, da.
Nope. We're out. Skip.
No, it's good. It's good. Lottie, daddy, day. Suddenly you call my name and I lose my brain and I float up to the moon.
Beautiful.
Catchy.
Right? So I'm taking a chance. Because I like you a lot. So I give it a shot. Give it all that I got.
I mean, when's the album dropping? I'm ready.
I didn't make it up.
Well, I'm shocked. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's like the level of talent.
You could, you could write something that good, though. I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know.
Do we stop?
No.
Do we keep going?
We've got a lot more in the tank. I do.
Let's go.
I've never known songs okay. to have a lot more in the tank.
You see, he's got a lot of words inside him.
Like inside of him or like inside him?
What do you mean by that?
We know.
That's fine. Okay, I got that from Silas because he said
what
it once.
What do you mean by that?
Yes, and now I say it all the time.
Yeah.
So shout out to Silas.
That's the fun thing about like a group culture where you like pick up phrases and like they grow their own meaning.
I love when Phil and Silas say. When I say when somebody says something out of pocket and they go, whoa.
Yes.
That makes me happy.
Same.
Hold your horses. Most of our sayings we just get off of social media. Vine,
yeah.
Instagram.
I mean, old vines. That's peak humor.
Yeah.
2015. I didn't even know what vines were until like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, a year ago. So thank you, William.
Do you guys want to have an ear orgasm?
No.
That sounds like
that is
an earache.
Not on my list.
All I'm doing is imagining my brain.
Like it's earache.
Yeah, it hit my ear wrong,
no,
for sure.
So good. It like tickles your brain.
Pass.
I don't like my brain being tickled.
That
sounds
like
dangerous.
That's
more
one.
Like a scratch.
My next person is old one.
Dude, have you ever studied the history?
Apologize.
Have you ever studied the history of lobotomies?
No.
I've seen a little bit about it.
Well, I listened to a podcast.
Look at you go.
Yeah, so obviously I know everything.
Peak empowerment right there when you listen to a podcast about something. You just know everything about it.
Right? Yeah. Okay,
it
but
you
know
so
what?
Smart.
Right? You know what makes you feel even smarter?
What?
Is reading like a paper. Like an official paper
like
of some kind of, of some kind of study that's been done. Mm-hmm. And you only understand like half the words. So you have to
it's
read
like
it through very slowly
like
three times.
As a professor wrote this.
Exactly. Nothing makes you feel smarter than reading a paper like that.
Probably writing the paper makes you feel smarter.
You know what? You might be right. I have not experienced that, though. So.
I'm guessing here, let's be honest. Got a paper published, and everybody came up to you and shook your hand afterwards and told you how good it was. Yeah, that means
I think I feel kind of smart. Yeah. If you were going to write a paper, what would it be about?
That's so many options.
Top three?
The benefits of mixing caffeine and alcohol.
Okay. That would be a fun study to do.
To try to convince people of.
Yeah. I don't think it would take much convincing.
The title would be UFOs, Angels or Aliens. That would be fun.
I'm in. Yeah. I love a good conspiracy theory, and I'm not convinced, like, I'm just going to say it. I would not be surprised if aliens were real.
But what do you mean by that? Like,
I don't know if they are, but, like, if I saw an alien, I'd be like,
interesting.
You know what? Yeah.
You know,
that tracks.
Yeah. You know what I think of aliens?
What?
I don't think they're dangerous. I don't know if they exist, but I think if they did exist, I think that they just are up there watching us and look like it's like a reality TV show for them. Them are some dumbasses. But they don't really want to kill us because we're just entertaining.
Almost Tucker Carlson. He thinks they're angels and demons.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Makes the most sense.
I can picture a demon as like a little green man.
Read the Bible, and we believe the Bible. And the Bible talks about spiritual warfare and, you know, forces fighting in this world that we can't see or understand. And then you, as our tech gets better, we start to see things that we don't know how they do it or understand it. It's like, it's not that big of a jump here to conclude that maybe they're spiritual in some form. We don't know how.
You've read Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, right?
I think I have. It's been so long ago.
I have copies of both of them if you want.
I should borrow them. I've read some of Frank Peretti's books. I know that.
But anyway, such interesting books. They're about spiritual warfare. And I just, I love those books. They're so entertaining to read, too.
Which is the one about a certain town that's getting, like...
The Oath?
I think, maybe.
Yeah, there's, like, a monster in the town.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite Frank Peretti book. I think it's called The Oath.
Because I read them when I was, like...
I have a bunch of his books, if you can borrow them. But I love The Oath. I need to read it again. I need to read anything again.
Yes, isn't it?
No. Let's take a vote. I'll vote yes.
I guess you convinced me.
Okay.
So I figured out a hidden talent that I have.
What's that?
Fiction. I have an and I'm not even trying to toot my own.
You're saying like writing fiction?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I literally the other night, Mel, I was in Indiana and she couldn't sleep. And then she said, "Your voice is comforting. Can you tell me a story?" And I pulled a story straight from out of my ass. And it was, I would read about it.
That is so cool.
I would literally read
like,
that
write book. A book.
It was so complex, too. It was, like, it had, like, psychological shit in it and everything.
That's amazing. And, okay, remember when we used to work together and we would be working beside each other and then you would just start spouting just random stuff that you had done that, like, that you had not done. Like meeting Louis Tomlinson.
Yeah.
And then we would just start talking and we would create just a whole story about how you went to his house and met him and this person was there. And
yeah.
It was crazy.
You're good at it.
I'm not. Well, I just feed off of you a little bit.
You're the best person to like be in that state around.
So you guys should write a book together.
Yeah, that's the next thing. Cast, go to a book, start getting stuff published, get you famous.
We'll start with writing fiction, I guess.
Yeah. If anybody wants to hear the story, just let me know.
Write it down.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. That's like what you say to your kid when they want to show you a picture.
No,
maybe next time I come over, you could show me.
I'll think of that.
Not me. I'm like, show me that picture right now.
Yeah.
Did you see that story about how Diddy's throwing temper tantrums in prison?
Yes, I loved that.
Yeah, because Luigi's getting all the attention because they're at the same prison. And he's like throwing a fit about it.
Oh no.
No one gives a fuck about you.
Right.
Also, a year ago, who thought Diddy was the next Epstein? Some people do.
I don't really know about Diddy a year ago.
I didn't even know who Diddy was.
Yeah, same. Just uncultured swine over here. I don't know.
His name is literally P. Diddy.
I know. Right? In the name. There were
That's
clues.
Not even his real name, right? Like, he picked that name for himself.
Sean Cole, is it?
Something like that.
And he picked the name. P. Diddy for himself and was like,
so he's a he's a P.
Yeah, he wrote that down somewhere and was like, that's a good idea.
That's the one.
He went through a selection process and ended with that.
That's crazy to think about.
And it's even like P. Diddy.
We should have picked up on it a long time ago.
No, the instant, like,
we didn't even know about him. So
true. People.
He's probably more famous. He's more famous now than ever.
Probably.
For all the wrong reasons, jail, but still.
So. Do you know I've heard some audio?
Context, please.
You heard what?
I heard some audio of like P. Diddy brutally raping someone. It was really traumatizing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no, it was really
bad. That's just on the internet. That's terrible.
That?
on TikTok.
I hope wasn't real.
I was doing some. No, I'm afraid it was.
It probably was, but I'm just.
It might not be. I'm not saying, but I'm
the
saying.
The internet's be wild, woman.
You're right. But did you see the video of him like dragging his wife down the hall with her hair?
No.
I try to avoid stuff like that.
Yeah, my For You page.
Like looking at pictures of it, I can't handle that.
Yeah, I go. I'm a very curious person, so I just need to know everything. And then sometimes I see some. I don't want it.
My For You page is helicopters and dirt bikes. Let's be honest. Much. And guns and trucks.
Mine is old vines.
The occasional inspirational quote, but like, let's not get carried away.
Right. Nice. That sounds fun. I bet you I'm kind of done.
Almost feel like we're kind of stalling out.
Yeah. Stalling out. I've got more words in me, but they need direction. If there's no direction, it's not so.
Yeah, I'm out of words. I'm scratchy.
We should wrap up the podcast and turn the mic off and then just sit here and bullshit for another 3 hours.
Let's go.
That's the best plan I have.
We will close out by praying for the people. Phil, Silas, what if you guys would do like rock, paper, scissors and whoever wins prays?
Or we could just both pray.
Oh, that's such a great idea. Okay, keep it short.
And he's do what you want. We'll take the hat off. Go, you
were right.
We were raised right.
Yeah, you were.
I don't know if you were raised right, but you are right.
You are
right.
Close enough.
Maybe the odds were all against you, but you made it.
But you prevailed.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Phil, you go first.
All right. God, thank you that we could meet here together today and have good discussion. And I pray for the people listening that they could be fulfilled and take good things away from it, and pray that it would help them bring them close to you, God. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Dear Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for your bountiful blessings. And just want to pray that people will be able to get real meaning out of this podcast, even though we aren't always very serious. But we know that people in the world need you more and need to know you're real. And pray that through you that they might find more peace, because the world needs peace. We pray that we'll be a shining light in this dark place. There's a lot of evil in the world, and it's so easy to focus on it. We pray that you draw everyone closer to you. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.